Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I can't brag, look at what I'm doing. Why? Because necessity is laid upon me. You see, a man who has been called to preach the gospel cannot avoid it. He cannot avoid it unless he is willing to pay a terrible price. It is a foolish thing to have been called to preach, to lay it aside, to run from it. To be given a message to proclaim, and then say, no, I don't want to. And I've known people to do this. It's a foolish thing, because they always wind up paying a price that is far beyond anything they imagined they would wind up losing or paying if they had preached the gospel. People say, I don't want to do it. You don't make enough money. I don't want to do it because people talk about you. I don't want to do it because people make light of you. People make fun of your kids, etc., etc., etc. Although I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It is a consuming fire. It's a fire in the bones, David said. The idea of having something to say, something from God to say, not something you want to say, but something you must say. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You see, I'm doing it because God called me to do it. I'm doing it because I must do it. It is like a compulsion. It is not a matter of, oh, I'm being taken advantage of. It is rather something that I must do. For, verse 17, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. You see, if I do it, and I do it willingly, because God has said, I want you to do this, and so I throw myself into it, I pour myself into the ministry, I have a reward. And indeed, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll receive a crown of rejoicing and anything else that he deems worthy, or deems me worthy of. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Now, let me digress here just a moment. It is speaking here about the preaching of the gospel. But my friend, let me broaden it just a little bit for a broader application. Anything that God lays on a man's heart to do, he must do it. If he does so willingly, he's rewarded for it. But if he says, I don't want to, but I guess I've got to, the reward is not there, but the responsibility to do the job is still there. When a person, if you have kids and you say, I want you to do this, all right, and their obedience is grudging and they don't want to do it and they drag it out and they whine about it, you don't feel like doing anything special for them. But if you say, hey, did you get this done? Oh, yeah, and we also did da-da-da-da-da, and you find out they've done much more. Don't you, as a parent, have a tendency to an inclination to want to reward them, to do something nice for them because they did so willingly? But he says here, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I do it, but I don't want to do it, it doesn't change the fact a dispensation, that is a responsibility for propagating the gospel, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It has been entrusted to me. Now, friend, any time you're entrusted with something by a second party, you're held accountable for what you do with that. But being entrusted with something is not the same thing as being given a gift. Somebody can say, hey, I want to give you $100. Wow, that's nice. Yes, you take it and you spend it. Whether you pay bills with it or whether you buy candy with it or you eat out on it, whatever you do with it, it's yours. You know, it was given to you. But if somebody entrusts you with $100, you better not spend a nickel of it. You're being trusted. They're expecting you not to spend it. They might be going to do something or going somewhere, and they're afraid they'll lose it or maybe be mugged or something, and you've been charged with keeping it safe for them, not for yourself. You see the difference? Now here, he has been committed. It has been committed unto him, this propagation of the gospel. It must be done. The Lord has entrusted him. Not to fritter away the time, not to do what he wants to do, but to get the gospel out. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? What am I going to get out of it? Isn't that something you hear so often? It reminds me of what Peter said. You know, he was talking to the Lord, and he said, Lord, we have left all for thee. And in the ensuing conversation, it's like, what do we get out of it? I mean, you know, so when's payday? What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, if we take this verse in reverse order, he has a power in the gospel, but he does not want to abuse or misuse that power. Instead, he's making the gospel of Christ without charge. He's making it free to anyone, and he says that in and of itself is reward enough. All right, now let's run through it again forward. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Now, why is that a reward? Why would he consider it a reward? Obviously, there's no money in that. He's not drawing a salary. He's not able to pay the bills with giving it for free. I think the reason he views it as a reward or remuneration for doing what he's doing is because he is able to give the word of life. He is able to give the gospel. And as people respond to it, he has the joy of introducing them to Jesus Christ. He has the joy of watching the wonder across their face when they realize the guilt is gone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. To have the joy of knowing you're the one responsible for winning somebody else to Christ. You have been the one who's been faithful to the calling. You haven't shirked your responsibility. You haven't depended on someone else. You haven't made the people in need wonder if it's ever going to come from anyplace else. Years ago, when I went to Romania, I believe it was the second trip I was there, I met a man who was a missionary to the Romanian gypsies, and he was telling me something that he wanted me to bring back to the States. He said he had been dealing with some gypsies, and a man came up to him, a man that he knew had made a profession of Christ. He had been saved. And you need to understand that in Europe, well, frankly, just about anywhere you want to look, generally gypsies are looked upon with suspicion. I was asked one time to preach in an open-air meeting to gypsies, and when I said I would, the people involved said, "You will?" I said, "Certainly." "But you're American?" I said, "Yes." I said, "What's that got to do with it?" They said, "Well, Americans don't like to preach to gypsies." I said, "Why is that?" "Yeah, because gypsies are dirty and because they steal." I said, "Well, it sounds to me like they're the ones who need the gospel as much as anyone else." But this man, this new convert, asked this missionary, who was an American, he said, "Why do your people hate the gypsy?" And the missionary said, "Well, I don't hate the gypsy." He said, "No, you don't, because you're here. But why do American Christians hate the gypsy?" And he said, I don't know why you're asking that question. He said, if they didn't hate us, why else have they waited so long to bring the gospel to us? If they didn't hate us, why have so many of my people died and gone to hell without having a chance to have heard the gospel? And as he told me that story, it hurt. I didn't know what to say. And it's a funny thing. It's not like people say, well, we hate this group or that group. Let's not give the gospel to them. That way they'll die in their sins and they'll go to hell. Ha, 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 ha. You don't set out to do that. That's not your intent. I've never heard any group of people, congregation or anyone else, set out to do a thing like that or to say it that way. And yet by their inaction, that is exactly what's happening. We're living in a world today when people by the thousands are dying every hour, stepping out into a Christless eternity. What is happening? Why is that possible? How is it possible? When there are so many professing Christians, why is it there are so few people willing to tell other folks how to be saved? Is it because they have a wish that these people would go to hell? Or is it because they simply do not see their responsibility? It's no big deal. My friend, eternity will reveal what a tremendous deal it was. Paul says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." And he says in verse 18, what is my reward then? That I can preach the gospel. When I preach the gospel, I can make the gospel of Christ without charge. I can give to a hungry soul that which is worth more than all the salary anybody could ever pay me. To be able to have the joy of preaching the gospel. Did you ever share the gospel with somebody who hadn't heard it before? Were you ever somebody's first exposure to the gospel? If that's not true in your case, then you cannot begin to appreciate what Paul's talking about. But if you have ever led somebody to the Lord who has never heard the gospel before, because God was using you and the power of the Spirit was on you and gave you wisdom and direction on what to say and how to say it, He used you. Then, my friend, you begin to understand why Paul can say, that's my reward. What is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now when he says, for though I be free from all men, there's an obligation. It is implicit, and if there's a contract involved, it is spelled out. But a man who draws a salary from a congregation has an obligation to that congregation. He just doesn't go wandering all over anywhere he wants to, and preach when he chooses to, and be silent when he chooses to. He has an obligation. Now, Paul says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. I want to be able to identify with these people so they can see I care. Now, I need to make some clarifying statements about this, and we'll come back to this tomorrow. But for today, I'm out of time. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says. Join me then.